Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April the 5th. Today is my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Frank. Frank was named after my grandfather, my mother's father, Francis. Who were you named after? Or what's the story behind your name or the name that you chose for your child or children? Know anybody with an unusual name? What is it? And do you form an impression of someone based on their name alone? How do our names influence our lives? We will talk about what's in a name this hour with a professor of psychology who knows a lot about names, the power of names, the past president of the American Name Society. And we will welcome your calls and questions with your stories about names at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do people treat you differently if you're a Tom, Dick, or Hakeem, or Latoya? Or how about Metallica? Our discussion, in part, is prompted by a story that's in the news this week about a couple in the Netherlands that is going through some legal problems, I think copyright infringement stuff, because they named their baby girl Metallica after the rock band. Apparently they like Metallica as a band and a name for their child. Would you do something like that? Have you done something like that? Let us know as we talk about names. Our guest is Cleveland Evans, immediate past president of the American Name Society and associate professor of psychology at Bellevue University in Bellevue, Nebraska. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how unusual is it for someone to name their baby after a rock band?
Well, it's certainly not very common, although I've certainly heard of it before. There was a rock band called Tesla, which got a lot of girls named after it a few years ago.
What's the name of the band? I've never heard of it.
Tesla, T-E-S-L-A. They named themselves after the electrical measure, which itself is named after Nikola Tesla, the famous inventor.
All right. So why would parents do this to a child?
Well, obviously because they are fans of the band and because they think Metallica sounds like a girl's name. You know.
Yeah. So what's the story behind your first name?
I am named after my maternal grandfather, who was named Grover Cleveland Lively. He was born in 1892 when people were still naming children after sitting presidents.
Yeah, that's what I assumed when I when I saw the name. Has your name influenced your life?
I think it is probably a fairly memorable and unusual first name and a common last name like I have seems to be the most memorable combination for a lot of people.
Really, yeah. Well, I would assume that naming a child after a relative, like you were and my brother Frank, named in part for my my mother's father, Francis. They didn't pick Francis, though. They picked Frank. Because I suppose that's a little more modern than that. That's pretty common, isn't it, to name after a relative?
Yes, although it's much less common than it used to be. As families have gotten smaller, and as we become even more individualistic as a society all the time, the percentage of children who do get named after relatives is down, and when people tell you they've named a child after a relative, it's much more common now that it's the middle name, which they aren't really going to use in regular life,
right? Yeah,
which is after the relative.
That's right, yeah. I was named Joy in part because my parents ran out of J names, I think, because I have two older sisters, Janine and Judy. Some parents like to do that, too, or maybe they used to like to do that, too, the same letter in the names.
Yes, there are still some parents who do that. Although, of course, the big families are smaller than they used to be.
Yeah, and my sister's middle names are my grandmother's middle names, so they did the middle name thing to a relative.
Mm-hmm.
Can a name be beneficial to someone?
Sure. Obviously, it depends on what profession you're in, but in the entertainment industry, obviously, many people still change their names because they think they're going to find something which will fit the image they want to convey better than the name they were born with.
Yeah. And can a name be harmful to someone in their profession?
There is research that shows that when the name gets there before you do, like on a job application, so that it's one of the few things that can influence people's decisions in the absence of knowing you in person, that it can have a negative effect. But if you are meeting somebody in person for the first time, the name effect, the name washes out mostly because all the other information they're getting about you is more important.
We are talking about our names, how we got them, how they influence us, why we pick the names we do when naming our children. There's a couple in the Netherlands making news because they decided to name their baby girl after a rock band, Metallica. And that got us talking about name selection in the office yesterday. And we thought you might also want to talk about this, too. What's in a name? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is a psychology professor and the immediate past president of the American Name Society, Cleveland Evans. My name's Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Hoping you'll stay with us all day long. Join Ben Marins for At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. You can join Ben and his guest after 4 for a Middle East update, violence in Iraq, the debate over war funding, and the latest developments with the British sailors being released from Iran. That's coming up after 4 this afternoon. This hour, we're having a little bit of fun talking about what's in a name. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Wondering the story behind your name, where it came from, why did you decide to name your children, what you named your children, maybe what's the most unusual name you've ever encountered. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is a psychology professor, the past president of the American Name Society, Cleveland Evans. You know, I didn't even know there was an American Name Society. What's that all about?
Oh, well, it's a scholarly organization for people who are interested in all sorts of names. There are people in it who study place names and trade names and names of characters in literature, as well as personal names, like I do.
And the why do you want to study personal names?
Oh, well, personally, I've been interested in this since I was 8 years old, but I'm fascinated by how people come to choose the names they do for their children and how the names that are popular keep changing in modern times, and what the fashions are and how they're different in different ethnic groups and in different cultures.
Yeah. Well, here's the most unusual name that I have heard. It's something my sister and her husband named their firstborn, Yossarian. That's from the book Catch-22.
Mm.
And I thought, why are they doing that?
So, is that a boy?
It is a boy.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a boy. Have you ever heard anything that unusual?
Sure. I've heard things much more unusual than that. You know, that obviously, I'm sure that's the character's surname, actually, in the book, isn't it? I mean, it sounds like an Armenian last name.
You know, I'm not positive if it was the first or last name. It was one of the central character. And my nephew does not go by, well, he goes by Yossi. I mean, it's a nickname, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it was a character that especially my brother-in-law admired very much. and that's why they picked it.
Yeah, well, there certainly are many people who pick up on names from fictional characters, although, of course, in modern times, they're more likely to be television or movies rather than books, like your brother-in-law.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Well, here's an interesting first caller, Stormy in Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I bet you, is Stormy your given name?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. How did that come about?
My mom, when she was little, would name all her dolls Stormy, and her grandmother told her when she had a child she should name her daughter that, and she died a few months before I was born, and her name was Eve, so I was named Stormy Eve after her.
Uh-huh.
And then, just a reaction,
Cleveland Evans?
Well, that's actually one of the words which has been more common as a name. It was common enough to be among the top 1,000 names in the USA for several years in the early 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And the first example of it I have is actually a character in a film back in 1924 who was named Stormy.
Yeah, it's not as unusual, Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, what did you, I see here that you named your daughters some interesting names.
Yes, I have a 6-year-old named Rain, and then I have a 3-year-old, we call her Skylar, but we call her Sky.
Rain, Sky, and Stormy, I like it. And you did that because?
I just always liked having a unique name. I mean, it got me into interviews, people always remembered me. And I thought that would be a good experience for my children, too.
Yeah. Professor Evans?
Rain and Sky are both what a lot of people call nature names. And there are certainly more people who are choosing names like that for their children than ever before. And Skylar, of course, originally has a completely different origin as a Dutch surname, but it is one of those names which is now sort of newly unisex, where there are many girls as well as boys being given the name.
Thanks very much, Stormy, for the call. We go now to Rob in Elkhorn. Hello, Rob.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
And you share a name with my husband, Rob. Not Robert, not Bob, but Rob.
Yeah, it's pretty plain, but we actually have a 3.5-year-old boy, which we named Sawyer, and a 12-week-old that we named Finn.
Now, do I have to ask why?
It's after the Mark Twain book.
Yeah, yeah. And you just like those books? You liked the sound of the names? What, Rob?
Yeah, growing up, they were favorites of mine, and we saw quite a few signs, like signals, that the first one should have been named Sawyer.
What
Sawyer County, Sawyer Road, the Sawyer Farm on Highway 43. When we were thinking about the name, we kept seeing it all over, so that's why we picked it the first time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I thought of Sawyer County, too. Do you know what Sawyer County is named after or why that has that name?
No, I don't know why.
Yeah, well, that's something I'll put on my list of things to do. Professor Evans, how about Sawyer and Finn?
Oh, I think it's sort of fascinating where you have this family who is thinking of Mark Twain's books and has come up with two names which both are definitely on the rise in use at the moment. You know, both Sawyer and Finn are names which fit in by sound with the names which are becoming more popular for boys, and Finn particularly is just the last couple of years gotten popular enough to be among the top 1,000 names in the United States. And so it's fascinating how people very often will have what they think are their own personal reasons for choosing names, and yet everybody is choosing the same names at the same time.
Interesting, yeah. Thanks very much, Rob, for the call. I'm looking at the most popular baby names, the top 100 names of 2006. And on the boys' side, Aiden is the most popular name, or was the most popular name in 2006. Aiden, A-I-D-E-N. I guess I've heard that a lot. It's interesting. Any reasons why that would be the most popular name?
Aiden is has the sound pattern that many people are looking for. There's this whole series of names that rhyme with it, you know, Caden, Jaden, Braden, Hayden, which are popular at the same time. And Aiden is the one of those which, in addition to having the sound that people like, also has a long history, since it goes back to a saint's name in England, and many people prefer to, especially college-educated people, want the name they give their children to have a history. And so Aiden is the one of the that rhyming set of names which appeals, shall we say, across the social classes.
Yeah, and on the girl side, Emma is the was the most popular name in 2006. Any story behind that?
That also is something which has been coming up for a while. Emily was the most popular name nationally for quite a while, and Emma, shall we say, is sort of a sound shift. The newly popular names often sound like previously popular names because parents are always saying, we want to find something that's different but not too different.
Yeah. Let me go to Dan now in Fond du Lac. And it's Dan, not Daniel.
Well, I love my name because it can be Daniel, Danny, or Dan.
Uh-huh.
But when I heard your opening remarks, I just had to call in because you said it was your brother's birthday and today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you. And my mother's father's name was Francis.
Isn't that interesting? Well, we share that.
Yeah, but my older brother got my grandfather's name's John Francis. So I was named Danny Joe, and my dad got the name from, got the idea for my name from a boxer in the 50s named Danny Joe.
Interesting. Yeah, I like it. Danny Joe. Thank you very much. Professor Evans, anything on that?
Of course, what's interesting about that is he has the form Danny, you know, as the official birth certificate name. And I assume he was born in Wisconsin, and it would be a bit more unusual in the North. It's much more common in the South for forms like Danny and Billy and Bobby to end up as the official,
really?
You know, first name.
Yeah, and that just cultural? Why is that?
It's cultural that people in the South, especially blue-collar people, have traditionally felt that was more appropriate, especially for boys than it has been in the rest of the country. That's been that way for several generations.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about what's in a name. What's your name? Where did it come from? Why did you decide to name your children what you named your children? And what's the most unusual name you've ever encountered? Talking about names, because there's a story in the news this week about a couple in Sweden, I believe, who is actually having a court battle over what they named their baby girl, Metallica. So we welcome your questions, your comments for our guest, our name expert guest, Cleveland Evans, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, April the 5th. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking about our names, how we got them, how they influence us, why we pick the names we do when naming our children. Our discussion is prompted in part by a couple in Sweden making news because they decided to name their baby girl after a rock band, Metallica. So we thought, let's talk about this. What's in a name? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Be sure to include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Cleveland Evans, immediate past president of the American Name Society and associate professor of psychology at Bellevue University in Bellevue, Nebraska. And our next caller is Florence in Elkhorn. Hi, Florence. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was just wanting to mention that I have not heard the name Judith used much. The only person that I did know with that name when he was old enough had it officially changed to Jude.
Ah, because of the connotation that Judas in from the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah, do you know why his parents chose that name?
I have no idea. He never mentioned.
Yeah, I guess that would be, that might be a dark cloud, Professor Evans, to be named Judas.
Oh, well, yes, I haven't, heard of that in the United States very much, although, of course, there are some other European languages where the person who was called Jude in the English Bible is also Judas,
mm-hmm.
Which probably is how they came about, from a cross-cultural effect that way.
This one is just a personal aside. I thought it was, I don't know if my great-grandparents were trying to be funny or just didn't have a lot of creativity at the time. My my grandfather was a twin, born in, it was on the Italian-French Riviera area. We're not sure if it was France or Italy at the time, but he was the first in the set of twins, his name Primo, and the second twin was Segundo.
Yes, both of those are, used as names in Italy in other contexts, but that's fun that they would choose that for twins in that way.
And Primo actually was, that's kind of a, I always loved that name for my grandfather because it's sort of, the first, the best, the, good. It had that kind of connotation to it to me. Dave in Menominee, Michigan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to bring up a guy that I have followed since the 70s, since I've been a fan of his brilliant compositions. Frank Zappa had four children that he named. His first girl was named Moon Unit.
Oh, yeah.
His second child, his first boy, was named a word that he made up. It was Dweezil, Dweezil. The next child was another boy named Amit, and their youngest was a girl named Diva. Now, Moon, people, and it's weird because people make fun of some of these things. The kids themselves never said they ever had any problems with anybody with their names. There was a guy, many interviews that I have on tape of these people. Dweezil said he was in class with a kid that had the name Ralph, and they made fun of Ralph's name all the time. He said he never had a problem with his name. Amit was named after another guy named Amit Erdogan from A&M Records. Diva was named because she was the highest pitched baby in the crying room.
That's funny.
Frank was brilliant, and the names, like this Swedish couple in Sweden, I think that's Meddy. That'd be a beautiful name, Meddy. You'd call her Meddy. I would have no problem with a neighbor that had a child named Metallica at all.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting story that Dweezil Zappa said he never encountered any negativity or problems with his name, but his school mate named Ralph did. Professor Evans?
Well, if you think about how old Dweezil Zappa is, kids his age in school, Ralph would have sounded like the character on Happy Days.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably why he was being teased, because of the image of Ralph in the culture at that time was really dorky. And he wouldn't have been teased about Dweezil because everybody would have known the story of how he got the name because his father was famous, and his father was famous, So being a child of a famous celebrity is going to insulate you somewhat.
Yeah.
From being teased about things like that. But, Ahmet is the one who got the, Ahmet is just the Turkish form of Ahmed, a very common, Muslim name.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for the call. Now we go to Pamela Ann in Racine. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? What I was calling about, actually, I had two sort of things. When I was growing up, I'm the middle of eight children, and all of my siblings are named after somebody. And when I was in high school, I suddenly realized that they're all named after somebody, and I'm not. My name is Pamela Ann, and so my mother told me that my name, Pamela, is a derivative of Helen, which I don't know if you know if that's true or not.
Well, what do you mean they were named after someone in history or your family?
Well, mostly in my family.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, not anybody famous, mm-hmm. but not all of them were named after family. Some, like my next oldest brother, was named after the doctor who delivered us, who also happened to be a family friend. My two youngest brothers were named after priests that they knew. They were abbots. And my next youngest sister was named after both of my parents with a French name. My parents' name were John and Mary. She was named Jeanine Marie, sort of a French version of my parents' name.
I get it. So Helen was somebody in your family, and so you want to know is that why the being a derivative of Helen would be significant?
Well, no. What my mother said was that Helen is a derivative. Oh, yeah, Helen was my grandmother's name. Exactly. So she said that's a derivative. Pamela is a derivative of Helen. So I want to know, is that really true, or was she just sort of making that up to appease me, for one thing?
Well,
35 years later, my best friend and I still joke about that, you know.
Yeah. All right, Professor Evans?
Okay. Pamela is one of those names which comes from literature, although much older literature. It was invented by the English poet Sir Philip Sidney, you know, back in the 1600s, and then was further popularized by Richardson's novel, Pamela, which was often considered by English professors the first real novel, you know, written in the English language. And nobody really knows for sure how Philip Sidney came up with it, but the best guess a lot of people have is that it was from Greek words which meant all honey, and it's certainly not actually derived from Helen, but probably what was going on there was that when Pamela was born, Helen would have been considered an ugly old lady name at that point, and so she really didn't want to name her daughter Helen because that sounded bad to her, and Pamela, with the L sound in it, was a popular name at the time and sounded like a good name for a baby to her, and it was the closest she could get, which had a sound which was something like Helen, you know.
And but you said there was a honey sound, so that sounds honey, Helen, close enough, Pamela.
I think she was trying to appease me. But then when it came time to name our daughter, we had a son first and then a daughter. When it came time, we actually did consider my grandparents' names or my husband's grandparents' names, and we decided actually to name our daughter after my parents, who had both died when our son was born, who was our older child. And my parents' names are Mary and John. So we were going to name her Mary, and then my father's middle name is Ambrose, so we were going to name her Mary Ambrose and call her either Mary or Mary Rose. But then my in-laws said, oh, that's a boy's name. You can't have her named after a boy. That's not right, blah, 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 blah. So we gave in to them because we hadn't been married very long at the time, and we gave in to them and named her Mary Catherine instead. And I'll tell you, it's still one of those things that I think we should not have given in to her. We should have said, yes, we want to name her that because my husband and I and our son all have the middle initial A. Then we would have all had middle initial A. So
yeah, well, you can family members can put a lot of pressure on each other, can't they, Professor Evans, over names?
Oh yes, though on the baby name
bulletin boards on the internet that I look in on, there are often postings by young women who are upset because they think they're getting horrible pressure from mothers-in-law, particularly about what they should or should not name their kids.
We're talking about names and the influence of names on our lives, why we choose the names we do in naming our children. Cleveland Evans, our guest, immediate past president of the American Name Society, also an associate professor of psychology at Bellevue University. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Welcoming your questions and stories about names. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll talk about why so many school districts in Wisconsin placed spending referendums on the ballot, and we will talk about why these schools need permission to spend more money and how those questions fared on the ballot this week. Right now we're talking about what's in a name. We're prompted by a news story about a couple in the Netherlands who have named or want to name their daughter Metallica after the rock band. They are running into all sorts of legal problems. Copyright problems or something along those lines. But we thought we would talk about what's in a name, why we choose the names we do for our children, why we have our own name. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is a psychology professor and the past president of the American Name Society, Cleveland Evans. And our next caller is George in Rubicon. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I gave our daughters some rather unusual names based on some experiences we had when I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Africa and she was there as a teacher at a Catholic elementary boarding school. Our oldest daughter we named Jacinta after one of the teachers at the school, and our youngest daughter we named Malaika, which is the Swahili word for angel. And there is a song that is sung in Swahili using the name Malaika that's popular there, somewhat like Farmer and the Dell is popular here.
Interesting. And do they go by those names today or some sort of nickname or derivative, George?
My oldest daughter will always sign her name Jacinta, but she prefers us to call her Jazz, J-A-Z. Mm-hmm. The youngest daughter uses Malaika, and sometimes it takes her and her friends a while to get it taught to say it correctly, but that's the word, that's the name she uses.
Mm-hmm. A reaction, Professor Evans?
Oh, well, those are both names which are unusual, but again, are probably good because they fit in with other names which are popular by sound. You know, Jacinta is, actually also used in the Hispanic community. And it's close to Jasmine, which is really popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Malaika is, I assume that's M-A-L-A-I-K-A? It's pronounced that way?
Correct.
Okay. That, again, sounds like Malika, which would be a more common Arabic name, which is more popular in the African-American community. And so I think they're probably really good choices as unusual names, and they, you know, are names which were picked because of things that were really personally meaningful to the parents. And so I think they're the sort of things that the girls can be very proud of.
Thank you very much, George, for the call. We go now to, is it Torin in Milwaukee?
Yes, it is. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I've always had a question about my name. My mom said she made it up. It's spelled T-O-R-I-N. And then another story about my son's name, who's 14 months old. My husband and I were in North Carolina a year and a half before I was even pregnant, and we were at a restaurant called Cuvee, C-U-V-E-E, with an accent over the first E. And we decided that would be a good name for a child, whether it was a boy or a girl. So that's how we came up with his name.
Cuvee.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I'm sorry, what did that mean?
We were told that it meant blend in French. And then my husband researched it on the internet, and he found out it specifically referred to the wine and champagne industry. Like on a bottle of Dom Perignon, it says Cuvee Dom Perignon.
Professor Evans?
Torin, I'm sure her mother probably did create it herself, although it's very similar to a lot of Scandinavian names,
right,
which are based on Tor or Thor, you know, the name of the god.
Okay.
So that, you know, if you went to Scandinavia, you'd probably fit right in.
Okay.
With that one. Of course, I've never heard Kuva. You may be one of the few people who's come up with a name for a child which is truly unique. He may be the only one. I've never heard that before, but there certainly are other people who have named kids after alcoholic beverages.
That was not our intention. Actually, another part of the story is that he was an egg donor baby.
Oh.
And okay.
So he's not me genetically, but I carried him and I delivered him. And
mm-hmm.
So our intention kind of behind that also was that it's the blend of the three of us, not just the two of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, again, and so that gives a personal meaning.
Yeah.
You know, for the child, you know, linking him with a very important part of his personal history. And so he can explain it to people, you know, I don't know how old he is now, but when he's older in that way, which will give it a better connotation for people than they might otherwise have when they find out where it comes from.
Well, here's an interesting one. Pat from Watertown actually tried to call in, but we kept on losing her on her cell phone. She went to school, she says, with a girl named Hedda, H-E-D-D-A, after Hedda Harper, the columnist. But Hedda's last name was, get this, Cabbage. So her name was Hedda Cabbage.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we have parents with a sense of humor that actually do that on purpose, don't they?
Yes, the most famous person like that is the daughter of the guy who invented Learjet, Mr. Lear, who named his daughter Shanda. So there certainly are always some parents who have a sense of humor like that, and it depends on, I suppose, the child's own sense of humor, how positive or negative that is. I certainly wouldn't have chosen Hedda Cabbage myself. But.
I'm also looking at something that my producer found about, I think this was in the book Freakonomics, and it was about parents who named their children, one of them Winner, as in I won, victorious, Winner, and the other Loser.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't very nice. And it turned out, though, the point of this is it turned out that Winner was the one that got into all sorts of trouble and was tossed in jail and other things. And Loser, with that first name, was very successful. So I guess,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't. You're not doomed with a name like Loser, apparently.
No. Yeah. I mean, it perhaps inspired him to try to overcome it.
It's is it Kara or Kara in Menominee?
Kara.
Hi, Kara. Go ahead.
I just came to your program late, but I always kind of pay close attention when I heard you talk about names, and then you mentioned that your guest name is Cleveland. My children are all named after U.S. presidents, and so that just caught my attention.
Oh, like who?
Because I don't.
Who? Who did you name your kids after?
Well, my first is Madison. That was my maiden name, so I used it for personal reasons, but it's become very popular, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second daughter is McKinley. And my son is Carter.
I love it.
So they are all three after presidents.
Uh-huh. And we did talk about your presidential roots, Professor Evans. What do you think of that?
Well, several of the presidential names are coming back, are becoming more popular. You know, Reagan and Kennedy, especially for girls, both are being used more. It's fascinating that, you know, she did name her daughter Madison, because the one thing that's a little bit different about Wisconsin from the other states in the country is that you actually have fewer girls named Madison there than the rest of the country. Madison's been in the top five names nationally, but it's not quite that popular in Wisconsin, so I think actually there are probably a lot of parents in Wisconsin who sort of avoid it because they don't want to be asked if they name their daughters after the city.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I was looking at that 2006 name, the popular names, and that was the number two in 2006. The second most popular name for girls was
mm-hmm.
Madison. You know, we almost out of time, but we have so many callers. This is just a very popular hour. People like to talk about this. Let me quickly get in Dennis in Sister Bay. Hi, Dennis.
Well, good morning. I'm a retired clinical psychologist, and over the years of my practice, I always had an interest in whether or not names were predictive or presaged a certain script in life. I think you alluded to this earlier, Joy, when you mentioned you knew somebody who was named Loser or knew about that.
Yeah.
For one, I knew a gentleman, and I'm not violating any confidentiality here. These gentlemen, or I should say this man and the woman I'm going to mention, are now deceased. But this particular fellow's family name was Flynn, and his parents named him Errol. For us old-timers,
yeah,
we know who Errol Flynn was and how he behaved.
Well, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry, Dennis, but we're at the end of the hour. So, and I'm afraid, Cleveland Evans, that I won't be able to get a response from you as well because we're out of time. But I do thank you very much for being with us. Cleveland Evans, immediate past president of the American Name Society. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.